Hello and welcome to Let the Bird Fly, a podcast about living freely in a world given back to us. This is Wade here for another Winging It session on my book, An Uncompromising Gospel, Lutheranism's First Identity Crisis and Lessons for Today. We're making our way through the different controversies that broke out after Luther's death. We've talked about the adiaphoristic controversy, the synergistic controversy, the majoristic controversy, and things of that nature. And today we get to another controversy, the Osiandrian controversy over justification, that word justification basically meaning that we are declared righteous by God, although other people have defined that word differently in spite of the pretty clear sense of the Greek in Scripture. The controversy is named after a man named Andreas Osiander, or Osiander. He was not someone probably that Flacius expected. We've talked about Matthias Flacius Illyricus earlier. Flacius and the other Lutherans necessarily expected to be opposing on the central teaching of the Reformation of justification, but one who became outspoken after Luther's death about a need to have a different view of justification than that which Luther emphasized, which was the forensic view of justification. And when we say that justification is forensic or a forensic view of justification, what we mean that is that it is something that is declared by God for the sinner. The sinner is declared righteous, declared a saint for the sake of Christ Jesus, who died and rose and ascended for that sinner. It's something that is done from outside of the sinner. It is received, that declaration, through faith, which is itself, as Paul says, the gift of God. Andreas Osiander had been a faithful Lutheran pastor for much of his life. He had served in the important city of Nuremberg, a city that had a lot of its own independence or sovereignty and was very influential at the time. And he had been a rather faithful Lutheran pastor there, an ally of the Reformation. And even after Luther's death, when the interim controversies broke out, which we've spoken about already, when those controversies broke out, he had actually opposed the interims as well, as Flacius and the Magdeburgers had done. Nevertheless, after that controversy, Osiander was given an invitation to become a professor at the University of Königsberg. Duke Albrecht had been won over to the Reformation in good measure, or at least in good part, by Osiander. And so he was invited to this rather prominent position at a young university. And so, feeling confident in that position, he came out in opposition to Luther's emphasis on justification as a forensic act, as something that is declared by God from outside of us, externos, but for our sake, so that we are declared to be what we are now through faith and in Christ. And I joke in the book that in doing so, he managed to do something that others had not at the time, which was he unified the various parties in Lutheranism, as Flacius and Melanchthon and Amsdorf and others all came out in opposition to Osiander's teaching. Philip Melanchthon had been very important in emphasizing that righteousness is imputed, that it is something that is Christ, that is given to us, even as Christ takes our sins upon himself, that it is gift, so that Christ Jesus came down to save us. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God, that his righteousness, like that wedding garment, is put upon us, is given to us through the means of grace, received through faith and by grace. What Osiander emphasized was a infused justification, might be the best way to say it. It's really hard to summarize his teaching well because it's just not exceedingly clear from what we have. But an infused righteousness, much like had been taught in Roman Catholicism at the time, something that is done or put into us, worked inside of us, so that when it came to justification, the believer was turned inside of himself or herself rather than outside of himself or herself to Christ. And he emphasized the divinity of Christ then dwelling in the believer as being part of what we would speak of as justification, and he actually thought this would be a more comforting teaching than Luther's. The problem is, when we really do turn ourselves inside of ourselves, when we do examine what's inside of us, and we are called to do that, especially as we prepare for the supper, what we find is not comfort, but sin. Sins of thought, word, and deed, failures, imperfections, and ultimately either self-righteousness or despair. And so the other Lutherans recognized that this would eventually rob the believer of all comfort. We can get by for a while looking inside of ourselves and thinking we're pretty grand, but faith will not stay strong for long when that's the case. Our faith will either turn to ourselves, we will have faith in ourselves, or we will lose our faith as we despair of our salvation. And so Flacius came out against Osiander, as the other Lutherans had, and Amsdorf as well, who we've talked about with the controversy over good works. I believe we spoke about that already. And they came out in opposition to Osiander, who would later be condemned by the formula of Concord as well, when the formula defined justification as a forensic act. He was protected by the Duke yet still, but he, in what he was teaching, turned away from these central core teachings of Luther that we emphasized earlier, especially those that are emphasized in the Heidelberg Disputation and on the bondage of the will, but also as is clearly summarized by Melanchthon in the Augsburg Confession and its apology. And so Amsdorf, in opposing Osiander, had written, "Therefore, the righteousness of the Christian is and can be nothing other than the righteousness of the humanity of Christ. In other words, our righteousness is found in what Christ, who was true God and true man, had come to do for us. Our comfort is in the person of Christ, who, as true man, gave up his life on the cross, who, as true God, was able to have his death and resurrection abound for the salvation of all who believe." And so this is a timely article for us to consider still today, as there's many churches or religions which will point people inside of themselves for security or comfort when it comes to their salvation or nirvana or whatever they might choose to term it. And it's a very human temptation to do, to be turned inside ourselves, I believe, as Augustine would say, curvatus in se, turned inward upon ourselves even, as a professor used to talk about, to navel gaze. And in the end, though, the faithful pastor, the faithful teacher, the faithful Christian mother or father or friend will turn their fellow Christian outside of themselves to Christ, will hold out Christ crucified for sinners. And if he is crucified for sinners and I am a sinner, then I qualify, and he was crucified for me to give me righteousness as well through the gift of faith that comes through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel. There still is that human temptation to want there to be something inside of us that we can hold on to, some comfort we can find inside ourselves, some fruits we can hold on to, in some way measure, if not our justification, then our sanctification, in a way as if that's what our relationship with God is measured by. We can see fruits of faith sometimes, although we don't necessarily know if they'll be apples and oranges and bananas, but that's not a measure of our relationship with God. The measure of our relationship with God is always Christ and the gift of faith in Christ, even if that faith be the bruised reed or the smoldering wick. And so hopefully, if you pick up the book or you manage to read through the Formula of Concord or really any of the confessions that deal with the doctrine of justification, you can learn a little bit more about this controversy and why it's important today, but also be comforted in the fact that we have a God who has declared us righteous and does continue to come to us with his word that declares us righteous through baptism, through preaching, through absolution, that we might find our comfort ultimately in the one who hung on the cross, true God and true man, who walked out of the tomb, who ascended to the right hand of God, in our Jesus, who is our righteousness and justification. So, with that confidence and in that peace, I pray that as those who have been declared righteous, as his saints, even as we yet this side of the grave remain sinners, you can go forth in freedom and in joy to let the bird fly.
Every evening when the sun goes down, get with my party and I begin to clown. I don't care what the people are thinking, I'm not drunk, I'm just a drinker. I set them up another round, I set them up another round, I set them up another round. One more round won't get me down. I said, honey, I don't care what